This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. I know you're probably sick of thinking about snow, but bear with me for just a few more minutes before we rush the warm weather. I want to talk about a project called SnowX. It's helmed by three engineers from Dartmouth's Thayer School of Engineering, and it aims to make it possible to get really detailed and accurate snowpack measurements by satellite. Here to talk about it with us is Chris Polishenki, adjunct professor of engineering at Dartmouth College and a research geophysicist at the Cold Regions Research and Engineering Laboratory. Hi, Chris.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So glad we have you. And I think that delay was because you're actually talking to us from Alaska right now, speaking of cold weather. So we're very pleased to have you with us. Chris, isn't there already ways to measure snowpack?
Sure. There's a lot of ways, especially when you're on the ground. You can stick a ruler in the snow and know exactly how deep it is. But what we really want to be able to do is measure it everywhere all at once. And while we can tell from space pretty well whether there's snow there or not, whether it's white or brown, we don't actually have a sensor on a satellite right now that does a particularly good job of measuring how much snow there is there in a place, how deep it is sitting on the ground, or how much water it contains.
Why is it important to know how much water it might contain or how deep it is?
Well, I usually work in the Arctic, and so for me, it's important for things like right now I'm up in Barrow, Alaska, studying how the snow on top of the sea ice insulates it and slows it its growth down in the wintertime. Or I was on a project before working on how snow affects large herds of animals like caribou and how we would manage those animals. But this project in Colorado really drove home how important it is to how many people in the desert west to know how much snow there is. I at one point was standing on the edge of this mesa, and I'm standing on 7 feet of snow, and I'm looking down into the valley that's below me, and down there is a complete desert. Only green down there is in the fields that are being irrigated with water that's coming from this snow melt up on top of the mesa. And boy, they really need to know how much water's in that snow if they're going to manage that resource going into the summer.
So SnowX is a project that's designed to find a way to make those measurements via satellite and to do it all at once rather than having to have individuals all over the world go out with their rulers and, you know, take their calculations and then call them into some place. So how do you build it, this tool? Do you have to just sort of, I don't know, create a whole new satellite to build a tool that will tell us what the snowpack looks like?
Yeah, ultimately, yes, that would be the goal, is to send up a new satellite, but we're a ways from that right now. You know, at this point, the snow research community has a lot of different folks working on a lot of different ideas for how one would measure snow. There's probably at least 15 different ideas, and probably more than that if you count them carefully. There's all these different ideas need to get tested. We can't put them all on the ultimate satellite, so this experiment was really about testing the options. And we can test them a lot more cheaply by just flying them in an airplane. And so there were about 8 different aircraft flying sensors that could someday be on the satellite. And on the ground, there was 30 or 40 of us going out very carefully measuring the snow with things like rulers that were much more accurate, and also measuring the internal structure of the snow, because a lot of these sensors are radar-based, and we want to know how they interact with the grains. But we wanted to take out the whole smattering of options and try them all. And a particularly unique aspect of this campaign was that we agreed in advance that we wouldn't just test them. We'd test them until they broke. And I don't mean literally like that the thing wouldn't work again afterwards, but we were trying to challenge the sensors under conditions where we knew they wouldn't do a very good job, such as underneath the canopy of thick forest, and try to figure out which ones could work or which combinations of sensors together could give us the correct answer for how much snow was on the ground.
So this is what you and your colleagues have been doing in Colorado. You've been out there where there is this nice, healthy base of snow, and you've been flying these sensors and airplanes over the snowpack again and again to try to figure out, you know, what measurements are they giving us? What's the most accurate? Meanwhile, you and your buddies are hanging out in the snow and actually doing those measurements with the rulers yourselves. This sounds like just an excuse to go play in the snow in Colorado for the winter.
Well, I certainly like my job. My job takes me all over the world, and I get to play in the snow in the Arctic in Colorado and up and down. But we are fairly serious about it. We did put in 12-hour days measuring snow as well.
Oh, in that case, sure.
I don't think we're all just having fun.
And is anything looking promising? I mean, this is the first of a 5-year project to try to figure out, you know, what tools work and how do you create the best tool that you can then send up into a satellite. But what's looking promising from what you've discovered in this first year?
Yeah, so we haven't actually gotten through the data yet. We're still in the stages of doing quality control on each individual data set, and we have not yet brought it together. But just from very quick looks, there's a few different technologies that seem really promising. One is LIDAR, which is where we use essentially a laser rangefinder. We shoot a pulse of light down from the airplane and time how long it takes to get back. And that gives us a position of the surface of the snow. And if we go back and fly again when the snow's not there, we can get the ground surface position. We can subtract those two and get the depth of the snow. If we do that in combination with a radar of some kind, the radar is often better at telling us how dense the snow is. So if you want to know how much water's in it, you need to know how deep it was and also how dense the snow was, because anyone in Vermont knows that snow we just got a couple days ago was a lot denser and had a lot more water in it than the snow you got in January, for example.
So these tools that you're going to be building and creating will be able to give us that. They'll be able to give us that snow density and the snow depth that should be able to let people have a greater understanding of what to expect for spring. But other things, you mentioned the caribou migration and things like global warming and reflectivity. Can you talk a little bit more beyond the economic picture for agriculture about why, you know, who else this might be affecting if we know this information?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're, you know, like I said, mostly work in the Arctic, and it was so fun to be on this project where we pulled together people who all have different scientific questions they're asking, and they only were united by needing a measurement of snow. So there were people who were working on all different types of questions, and with the climate changing, my questions up in the Arctic, like you mentioned, the caribou. What we're seeing in the western part of Alaska is much, much more frequent rain on snow, and that's because the Chukchi sea ice isn't freezing until later in the year, and that's making it warmer. And that rain on snow, it makes it a lot harder for the caribou to dig down to the forage that they eat on the surface. And if we can know what the extent of that rain on snow is, we can do a lot better job of predicting that, boy, that the caribou population is not going to do real well this winter, and give the managers, say, of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge a heads up that hunting seasons and subsistence activities may need to be curtailed to protect that population in the next year. We can do that potentially in advance of the caribou dying off and not needing a fly around and counting at each individual animal. We can just know what those conditions were. And with the sea ice, the project I'm working on right now, boy, we really need to know how much sea ice is going to grow during the winter to get our models initialized in the springtime correctly. And what we're seeing here in Barrow right now is it was a relatively warm winter with a fair amount of snow, and the sea ice is the thinnest we've ever seen it.
Wow. Well, I'm excited to hear what comes out of this project. We're right at the beginning. Thank you for talking with us about SnowX now, and maybe we can chat with you in a couple of years when you have a better sense of what you're going to come up with. Chris Polashensky is adjunct professor of engineering at Dartmouth College and a research geophysicist at the Cold Regions Research and Engineering Laboratory. Chris, thanks.
Thank you very much. Look forward to talking with you again.
Listeners, if there's a comment you'd like to add to this conversation, leave a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. You can also find us on Facebook or tweet us at Vermont Edition. And follow Vermont Edition in NPR One for all our latest content. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Singeri, Sam Gil Rosen, and Meg Malone. Mary Williams directed this program. Our executive producer is Patty Daniels. And our theme music was composed by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.